Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I don't know if you were up all night. I slept soundly, but I was up at 5 o'clock to digest exactly what happened in the 650 constituencies, including, of course, Northern Ireland. My summation of it is, well, first of all, some of the iron rules of politics hold good, that unless you're in China or Russia, you don't get a fifth term. The cycle is again showing the tendency that governments are voted out, then oppositions winning in. Quite remarkable, the first past the post system. Basically, Labour have got almost two thirds of the seats on one third of the vote. Quite a neat trick. And for me, the best example of the nightmare for the Tories is the Forest of Dean constituency, where they had the Transport Secretary, Mark Harper, and he lost by about 350 votes to Labour. But Reform got 6,000 votes that would presumably have been Tory votes if Reform weren't there. So the future of the Tory party, what goes round comes round. Will they take a lurch to the left, or to the right, in terms of a new leader? And all this, what does it mean for Anglo-Irish relations? Maybe a big improvement. We've spoken before about Keir Starmer has Donegal links, of course, worked in Northern Ireland. And what does it mean post-Brexit? The elephant in the room in this election that everyone was in denial about. Will there be a thaw in EU-UK relations? So a remarkable landslide, however, and it's a much more meritorious performance by Starmer relative to Blair, because I think people forget in 97 when Blair won, before that, Neil Kinnock had made progress and John Smith made even more progress. So actually, from the disaster that Starmer got from Corbyn in 2002, who incidentally got elected, it is just a remarkable turnaround, showing voters everywhere, whether it's France or Ireland, there is greater volatility. But I'm delighted to welcome the Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, who gets all the good gigs because he's in London. Fionnán Sheehan joins us. Fionnán, first of all, what did you think were the headline issues?
Just the manner in which politics can be turned on its head in such a short period of time. I was sitting here 5 years ago watching politics change forever because Boris Johnson had knocked down the red wall. It was going to be Tory leadership for at least a decade, and Labour were done and dusted, and we're going to have to examine what their very meaning as a party. And you come back 5 years later, and it's the complete opposite result. I mean, there's no great love for Keir Starmer. This is not the great euphoric moment that it was with Tony Blair, and yet he's done a perfectly efficient job off the back of being up against a rather appalling government. What you are looking at here, though, is the splintering of the British right. You look at the growth of Nigel Farage's Reform UK. You were seeing that throughout the night as counts were coming in. There were constituencies where you were adding up the Conservative vote and the Reform vote and wondering, well, you've actually just cost your side of the political spectrum seats here by splitting the vote. At the same time, you know, it's very hard to feel sorry for the Tories, given the manner in which they have governed the UK over recent years. Starmer comes in with enormous expectations now and a massive majority, but no money in the coffers, and his ability to get the economy going is questionable. He's hanging an awful lot off this idea of getting growth going and investment, but really his taxation and spending plans are really up in the air in terms of what exactly he can achieve here.
Okay, we'll dissect the future of the Tory party and what went wrong. But what do you think it means for the Irish government, Anglo-Irish relations and UK-EU relations?
Oh, delighted. From Dublin, delighted, and Brussels probably slightly relieved, a wee bit disinterested, really, with what the British have been getting up to over recent years. Once Brexit was done, they were kind of happy to not have anything more to do with them. It had reached such a low ebb, Dublin-London relation, that, you know, anything was going to be an improvement. Sunak probably wasn't the low point. You could at least deal with him. Dealing with Boris Johnson was an appalling experience for the Irish government. Somebody who was happy to play Russian roulette with the Good Friday Agreement. You've had a terrible 8 years in terms of Anglo-Irish relations. So that will improve on a number of fronts now. Starmer is a serious individual. He understands Ireland from his time here. He has people on both on his front bench and on his backroom staff who have Irish connections. So there will be that. There's also just basic things. I mean, it was pointed out to me yesterday that the Labour Party manifesto said, you know, the United Kingdom Downing Street government is a co-guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement. And you're kind of going, okay, that's stating the blind, the obvious. And the response back was, yeah, but they're actually saying it. This isn't the kind of thing that the Tories have been saying over recent years. That the Labour government will actually just take its role seriously. It's not a great moment for nationalism. Starmer is not somebody who is teeing up anything like a border poll. He's making it quite clear that he doesn't see that on the agenda. It'll be more in terms of, you know, enhanced relationships, making sure that, you know, Northern Ireland does get the attention that it requires. There's hope that Hilary Benn, who is the spokesman on Northern Ireland, will now be appointed as Northern Ireland Secretary. That seems to be a positive, as he seems to be a very experienced and conscientious politician. But even just on a very basic one-to-one level, take out Northern Ireland out of the equation at all, normal regular meeting that you would expect between ministers in areas like justice or agriculture, they haven't been happening in recent years. Normally the Irish minister was bumping into their British counterpart at EU meetings. That's not happening anymore. So that level of interaction has drifted away, and they want to get that engagement back up, because we share a lot of common causes and a lot of common issues with our nearest neighbour, and their departure from the UK has had knock-on implications beyond just what you would regard as EU business. From an EU perspective, you'd imagine that Starmer has said, you know, he wants to have a bit of a better relationship. He's not talking about rejoining the
customs union,
the customs,
for instance,
union, yeah, or anything like that. He's saying not going back into the EU, but he was a Remainer. He does, you know, have an appreciation of the EU. He's talking about a better trade deal with the European Union. So again, at the very least, there'll be a bit more of a level of engagement there. He's got a couple of events coming up that help in that regard and give him an opportunity to meet with fellow leaders from across the continent. He's got a NATO summit next week, and then the week after that, the British are hosting a group of 50 European leaders, democratic nations, who are supporting Ukraine. So again, that'll be an opportunity for him to put out a welcoming hand and say that Britain is back on the international scene, not just as a lone wolf,
okay,
but actually interested in multilateralism.
I was looking at what might happen in the first 100 days, that would be specific, and one almost certain thing is they're going to dump the sending externalization of people to Rwanda that are illegal migrants, people refused asylum. This had, the fear of that had tended to drive extra migration via Northern Ireland into here. Do you think that might be impactful in terms of easing some of those pressures?
Yeah, so again, perception even in the in that area of immigration is quite strong. If there is now a view for asylum seekers even based in the UK at the moment, because we were actually also getting people who had been based in the UK for a number of years coming to Ireland off the back of fears of the of being exported to Rwanda, that will have a definite impact in terms of migration. I mean, Starmer's going to have the same problem as the Tories have had in terms of stemming that flow across. So there's a number of issues where you're looking at Starmer on an economic level on issues like migration and health and so on and so forth, and going, okay, you've promised that you're going to do something here quite significant. How quickly are you going to do it? And if that starts going wrong, if migration to the UK starts increasing again, because you've signaled that, you know, the stick that we had to employ against illegal migrants is now gone, then how are you going to respond to that? So, you know, issues like that are going to be quite delicate for the UK government to handle over the coming weeks.
The Tory party, real history in the making, their worst ever result. Just a little bit of your analysis, the post-mortem on that. For me, the point of no return for them was the Liz Truss 45 days, an aborted budget, a bit of a crash. And I'm delighted she lost her seat in Norfolk Southwest. And whereas I find there's some Tories that I find very reasonable people, Jeremy Hunt, maybe James Cleverly, and so on. Justice was done?
Yeah, I mean, very definitely was that the point of no return? Yeah, but it's not as if everything else had gone well for them up until that point. The collapse of the Johnson regime in complete farce around their handling of COVID-19 and Partygate, the manner in which he handled Brexit and the damage that he did internally to his party in terms of its standing as upholding democracy, proroguing Parliament, bullying MPs into going down certain routes. That all reeked of incompetence as well. So by the time Sunak came along, the damage was done. And all you can say from his perspective is that, you know, perhaps he just shored things up for he was pretty much an interim prime minister over the course of the last few days of their election. He probably stopped them dropping down around the 100 mark. At one point, there was talk about 3 days out that the Conservatives were heading in that direction. So maybe he saved about a dozen or 20 seats. That's about it. Certainly in terms of the final Labour vote, you were seeing that. There are question marks now, but what direction do the Tories go? I mean, logically, you'd look at a result like this and say, oh, well, you know, the Tories need to get back to basics, get back into the centre ground. No, the debate now is, oh, no, they actually need to swing for the right to win back that lost support that has now passed to Nigel Farage and his Reform Party. So we were watching now to see, it's clear now this morning who has survived. Jeremy Hunt has survived, Luala Braverman survived, Kemi Badenoch is also a potential leader there. So you will now see that leadership election take shape. But as their difficulty is that as long as conservative voters have got another option on the right to vote for, it's going to continue to undermine their ability to bounce back against Labour. So that will take shape over a while. Again, let's go back to the start of the conversation. Let's not say that we're definitely looking at a decade or 15 years here of Labour. We don't know if we are, but what we do know is there is a multitude of difficulties that the Conservative Party now have in terms of regaining any sort of stability and credibility.
Finan Sheen, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, talking to us from London, giving us his reaction and analysis of the result, what it means for Ireland and European relations with the UK. Thank you indeed, Finan. A pleasure to talk to you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.